Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP Section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guest.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Lisa Feathergill, and I'm going to talk about estate planning and taxes. I'll start with some context, then review major tax considerations, followed by estate planning considerations for all clients, and finally discuss planning strategies for those who have a taxable estate. First, some context. Over the next 20 years, it's estimated that at least $30 trillion in wealth will transfer from one generation to the next. 10,000 baby boomers turn 65 every day, which means they're looking for strategies in retirement as well as estate and gift planning ideas. Clients are looking for their CPA to be their primary point of contact to help them with more than just tax planning. And estate planning is a natural fit with your tax knowledge because, one, as a CPA, you are already in a position of being one of their most trusted advisors. Two, as a CPA, you naturally look out for your client's best interests. Three, you have a solid tax foundation and accounting foundation, which is needed to see the whole picture and combine the estate plan with the financial structure. And four, you're in regular contact with your clients, so you probably know them very well and have opportunities to discuss these issues. So estate planning, or more broadly, wealth transfer planning, to include gifting, is something you are already probably doing with your clients as you help them with their tax situation. This isn't something brand new. It's really expanding what you're already doing to help your clients. So let's start with major tax considerations you should take into account when doing estate planning. I'm going to talk about five things. The doubled exclusion through 2025, basis step up, state conformity, the annual exclusion, and portability. All right, so coming back to the doubled exclusion, the new tax law doubled the estate, gift, and generation skipping tax exclusion through December 31, 2025. In 2019, the exclusion will be $11.4 million for an individual or $22.8 million for a married couple. It's adjusted each year based on a change CPI calculation. Now, on January 1, 2026, it will revert back to basically $5 million as adjusted by inflation going back to 2012, or roughly it will be half of the 2025 amount. And this is a use it or lose it proposition. It can be used against gift, estate, or GST tax. And in fact, the new proposed regulations indicate there will not be any clawback of the additional exclusion if it's made for gifting during this period or if taxpayers die after reversion back to the pre-2018 levels. Above the exclusion, the estate, gift, and GST rate is a flat 40%. People ask if this will be permanent or if it really will sunset at the end of 2025. You know, that's hard to say. Think about this. There are two congressional elections and one presidential election between now and the end of 2025. And as we just saw in the recent election, it's hard to say, but it still makes sense to plan based on the existing law. All right, let's talk about basis step up. Still available under the new law, so therefore someone who's not concerned about paying estate tax may want to hold assets until death in order to avoid their heirs paying tax on the appreciation. Remember, when you gift an asset, the basis to the donee is generally the same basis as the donor held prior to the gift. Third, state conformity. You need to check the laws of the state where your client lives to determine the estate and gift rules and see if they conform to the federal rules. There are a lot of states that do not have the same exclusion as the federal exclusion, so you need to check that. You also need to check to see if your client lives now or lived in a community property state, because community property states attribute ownership of assets generally one half to each spouse, unless they designate otherwise. And in addition, a few states have an inheritance tax that is charged to the heirs when they receive assets from an estate, and a few also have a gift tax. The annual exclusion. The annual exclusion is $15,000 in 2019, and remember, it is available for each donee. So an individual can gift $15,000 to as many individuals as they want, and it doesn't count against the exclusion. It is considered an annual exclusion gift. So it doesn't count against the large exclusion that we've been discussing. And then finally, portability. Portability is an election that's filed on the Form 706, which lets a surviving spouse elect to utilize their deceased spouse's unused exclusion. Note that it's not available for generation-skipping transfers, so for large estates, it's still going to be important to plan for the utilization of the generation-skipping tax exclusion. Next, let's talk about some planning considerations for all clients. Now, for most clients, estate planning is going to have a heavy focus on income tax planning. Prior to the doubling of the estate exclusion, it was estimated that only 0.2% of the population would have a taxable estate. In fact, the Tax Policy Center was estimating for 2017 there would only be 11,300 estate returns filed, of which only 5,500 would be taxable. The balance of those returns were probably filed to claim the portability election. So, since there's most likely not going to be many clients with taxable estates, income tax is a key focus in estate planning. So, one of the main issues to think about then is basis step up. Now, our goal is going to be to minimize estate taxes as well as minimize income taxes. So on the one hand, you want your clients to plan their estates to be less than the exclusion, which encourages gifting. And on the other hand, you want basis in the hands of heirs to be as high as possible, which encourages holding on to assets in order to get the step up. For clients with taxable estates, planning both the structure of the gift as well as the selection of assets to gift based on tax basis will be important. At any level of wealth, the first step is determining how much your client can afford to give away. This can be accomplished with software that projects net worth based on cash flow each year. For example, NavaPlan or WealthTech are software programs that allow you to generate detailed projections of cash flow and net worth by year. In addition, qualitative issues around estate planning will be at least as important as the tax issues for most clients. Think about avoiding probate, which can be done with joint ownership and revocable trusts. Also, talk to your clients about who they want to name as guardians. Talk to them about health care directives, living wills, powers of attorney, both medical and financial, and who they want to name as executors. Also important are issues around preparing heirs for inheritance and avoiding entitlement. I used to say the estate plan is not complete until beneficiary designations are reviewed and titling of assets is reviewed. Now I say it's not complete until it's communicated to the heirs. Too often, parents avoid discussing estate plans, and their heirs are left guessing about their parents' intentions. When there's a lack of communication, it leads to mistrust, and often this leads to conflicts when there's nobody around to answer the questions. It's important that you encourage your clients to let you review their estate plan to determine the impact of the doubled exclusion on the distribution of assets at death. As a CPA, you're in a great position to diagram the plan and show how assets will pass at death. Show who receives the assets, when, and how much. This usually results in an aha moment for the client and great further conversations with you and your client. Let's address some specific planning considerations for clients with taxable estates. For clients who will have a taxable estate, the doubling of the exclusion is an opportunity to save over $2 million in future tax. Clients can utilize this savings by either making gifts of the extra exclusion or dying prior to January 1, 2026. Since making gifts is much more attractive, this is a great planning opportunity for clients who want to make large lifetime gifts. Please note, I'm not going to discuss these strategies in detail. To learn more about planning strategies and considerations, I strongly urge you to look into the PFS educational curriculum or the Estate Planning Certificate Program. I'll provide the site for this later in the podcast. All right, so let's talk about specific planning considerations for clients with estates greater than the double exclusion, i.e. individuals with net worth greater than $11.4 million or $23 million for a couple, roughly $23 million for a couple. Using the doubled exclusion should be the primary discussion point. Remember, it's use it or lose it. Some people say in the current environment, with the doubled exclusion and no regulations around valuation discounts, as well as a relatively low transfer tax rate, may be the best ever. Due to the size of the exclusion, many clients are going to be focused on multi-generational gifts, including dynasty trusts. When planning for multiple generations, the key is to provide as much flexibility as possible to accommodate a variety of possible scenarios. At the same time, clients will want to protect assets and trusts for as long as possible. So when reviewing trust agreements, look for discretion in the trustee to make distributions rather than mandatory distributions. Look for trust protectors who can make changes to the trust agreement as needed as well. When planning for ultra-high net worth clients who are using the exclusion, I usually see trusts set up as grantor trusts. It's like the gift that keeps giving. The trust is not diluted by income tax while the grantor is alive and paying tax on the trust income, and the payment of tax on the trust income is not considered a gift. Another advantage of grantor trusts is the ability to increase tax basis if necessary in the future. This can be done through asset substitutions, if allowed in the trust agreement, or by selling assets that are in the trust prior to the death of the grantor. This way, the heirs receive a higher tax basis while the asset is excluded from the estate of the grantor. For especially large estates, consider coupling the dynasty trust with valuation discounts using family limited partnerships or family LLCs and gifts or sales to grantor trusts. Sales to grantor trusts are not considered taxable gifts. Thus, if a client has fully used their exclusion, a sale is a way to transfer assets without paying a gift tax. This is especially attractive if coupled with valuation discounts, since the discounted value will escape gift or estate tax. The note taken back by the seller has the effect of freezing the asset in the client's estate at the interest rate. Rates have been low for several years, but have been moving up. The recently released rate for midterm notes, which is 9 years or less, with interest payable annually, is around 3%. Ensure that these clients are making annual exclusion gifts. Remember, tax basis is important. Generally, annual exclusion gifts would be made with high basis assets or cash, especially if it's anticipated that the gifts will be liquidated and spent. Yeah, this is also a great time to clean up existing plans. Clients who have previously sold assets to a trust may want to gift the note to the trust. This, in essence, forgives the note and avoids issues around taxability of the gain at the client's death. All right, and let's also talk about clients with estates that are greater than what the exclusion will be in 2026, but less than the current exclusion. So that would be clients with a net worth between, say, $5.5 million and $11.5 million. These clients may want to take advantage of the additional exclusion, particularly if they have excess funds that aren't needed for lifestyle. So gifting strategies, like we've talked about, should be considered. These clients may also want to utilize gifting strategies that could possibly allow access to the funds at a later date if needed. For example, a spousal lifetime access trust, or SLAT, or a domestic asset protection trust can provide flexibility to access the gifted funds at a later date while using the exclusion currently. Annual exclusion gifts will also make sense for these clients. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Lisa Featherngill. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to visit www.aicpastore.com/PFP estate to learn more about the certificate on estate planning. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you more about additional resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.